Welcome back in, final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Oh, man, good morning. How's it going?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I want to get your thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins situation. He's now scheduled to visit with the New England Patriots as well next week. Obviously, he's visiting with the Titans. And I guess I want to ask it to you this way. If this plays out and the Titans end up landing DeAndre Hopkins, what is the tangible impact of that in your mind? How big of a difference do you think at this stage of his career he makes for the Tennessee Titans if they land him?
I think it's huge, and it's huge from a confidence perspective, whereas it's a message to everyone on this team that, hey, it's not a rebuild. This is something that the group is going for. I think that's what it tells them. So it gives a lot of confidence that way. And then even if you look at the offense, I mean, imagine 8 in the box against Derrick Henry, and you have 1-on-1 out there for Hopkins and Traylon Burks. That's a good thing to take advantage of, and it just gives you another weapon, another opportunity to make plays. Now, I know he's not the same as he used to be, so I think you kind of look at it from a different lens, whereas it's like, okay, let's see how much of a highly productive number two can he be to complement Traylon Burks. So that's kind of the expectation if he were to come to the Titans.
Okay, I want to put you in two different people's shoes and get your reaction as it relates to Hopkins, TD. One, you're in Traylon Burks' shoes. What are you thinking if the Titans sign Hopkins? Two, you're a GM looking to sign Hopkins. What are you offering him in terms of a contract?
Well, if I'm Traylon Burks, I'm really excited. And he touched on it when he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins. He said he'd be a great mentor. He also said that that's somebody that he watched when he was younger, you know, and was one of his favorites. So I would be excited that, hey, look, man, this is a guy that could come in. He could show me how to be that lead receiver, that lead dog in the receiver room. And on top of that, he'll make me not have to face as many double coverage packages and bracket coverage, et cetera. So that's how I would look at that from Traylon Burks' perspective. But then from a GM's perspective, you got to keep an eye on the Odell Beckham Jr. deal, and you got to keep an eye on Alan Lazard and Jacoby Myers and the deals that they got. And I would say, look, man, we're going to offer you, you know, a guaranteed a $10 million, and we'll put some incentives in there. And we'll incentivize it up to 15, I think, or 13. Like, that's the way I would look at it. Now, it's easy for me to sit there and say that without, you know, having to balance anything out. But that's how I would do it. But, you know, I'm sure Rand Carthon and the crew, Chad Brinker and everybody, I'm sure they have it all put together and have a good deal offered for him, because otherwise I don't think he would have wasted his time to get on a plane and come here.
So, TD, we knew Kevin Byard was speaking yesterday, and he knew once he got up there what was coming from the media, and he chose to discuss some things. Other things he chose not to get into in relation to the Titans approaching him to take a pay cut yesterday when he spoke. But overall, just your takeaway from Kevin Byard and what this means for the relationship with him and the Titans moving forward. Is this water under the bridge, I guess, at this point in the offseason?
I honestly felt this way for the last couple weeks when he wasn't there at OTAs. I said multiple times that, look, he's going to check in to minicamp, and it's going to be like everything is back to normal. And I think that, for the most part, on the surface, is what it is. Look, man, Kevin Byard's a person, you know, as buttoned up and near perfect as he's been, he's a person. So, you know, deep down inside, there's a little disappointment, some animosity, but he's such a professional. I think he's going to work through it. I don't think it's any issue. I've said before that it was smoothed out on the TD Power Hour like 3 weeks ago. I said that. And I never knew that it was the plan all along for him to work out on his own. But what he said makes sense. But then at the same time, you're like, hey, this is a guy that is always very clear with what he says. He doesn't usually shy away from any comments or anything like that, why didn't he just come out and say, hey, this was the plan B? Well, like, why didn't he do that before? And that's definitely a question to be asked, but I think it is water under the bridge. He's, like I said, ultimate professional. He's going to keep going, and I don't think it's going to be an issue.
You think Kevin Byard, I mean, we've talked about this in terms of Tannehill. I mean, I guess I would rank him number one in terms of the likelihood on this question, but that we're looking at Tannehill, Henry, Byard together, all of them for the last season in Nashville?
Yeah, I think this may be the last dance, man. I think it may be because you look at Tannehill and Henry's deals. I mean, you got voidable years, and they're reasonable value for the void. So I think so, but I think a buyer does manage to be back next year.
Ron Davenport with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, TD, I realize it's just mini camp and there's a limited amount of information, but what have been your impressions of Malik Willis and Will Levis to this point of the offseason?
Yeah, I think Malik Willis, he looks so much more comfortable. And that's the main thing with me. You see him going through progressions. You see him making checks at the line. And he had a couple of really nice throws throughout practice. You know, he hit Reggie Roberson in the corner end zone for a touchdown. You saw him, you know, thread a few. He looks good, man. I'm impressed with him so far. And as you said, it is only mini camp. As for Will Levis, you know, I just like just so you look at yesterday, right? Caleb Murphy, the undrafted free agent, you know, he got pressure on him a couple times. And I like the way that Levis was able to still just kind of bounce off of that. And he made a throw to Josh Wiley for a touchdown. Now, it would have been a sack, but just seeing him just keep that composure in the pocket, you know, that was good. And I just like the way he's approaching it. You know, he said that there's high standards and it is an experimental period. And he's taking some shots. He's not trying to be reckless, but he's trying to, you know, take some risks or take some opportunities to just see what he could do with the football. And I like that in him. So it's been impressive watching both of those guys. That's going to be a battle that, you know, we're obviously going to really monitor because it's going to yield the backup quarterback.
Is Caleb Murphy your NWI?
I like Caleb Murphy a lot, man. I really do. I watched him in rookie minicamp, and I was watching Ryan Crow and Coach Lolokas work with him, and just the way he was picking things up. And I was fortunate enough to stay in a watch practice with Coach Max. So he was just really just, you know, helping me get a better grasp of the progression that he was making from rep to rep. So, yeah, I like him. And, I mean, he's a fellow D2 guy, so I'm pulling for him for sure.
PD, have you been able, as you've watched Tyjae Spears, have you been able to develop a sense of how he could be used in this Titans offense to take advantage of the playmaking ability that he has, even though they do still have Derrick Henry? We know that he's going to be on the field a lot.
Yeah, you have been able to get a good grasp on what they're going to do. I mean, you know, they're using all types of personnel packages, which has been pretty fun to see. I think he's going to get a good opportunity to catch the ball out of the backfield. It's all about really just finding ways to get him, and I hate to use the cliche, the catchphrase, but get him the football in space. You know, that's really what it's about. You know, get him the football in space and allow him to use that Tesla-like acceleration that he has. Because, I mean, he hits the second step. I was talking to Blaine Bishop about it yesterday, man. Like, this dude hits the second step, and he's gone. And Blaine was talking about how those are the guys that are so hard to deal with because they're smaller, and by the time they get up on you, you know, they're already at top speed, and before you know it, they're right by you. So I think those are the things they're going to do. Just, you know, like I said, get him opportunities to make plays.
So, TD, now that we've been through minicamp, and I know there's an OTA next week too, but, you know, this is kind of the end of the spring, and we've seen a lot, especially the last 3 days, of this offense going, you know, best against best and ones, twos, threes. But, and we can't, you know, there's limitations of what we can talk about from what we saw. But just in general, because I feel like a couple things with this offense. Certainly, one, it's definitely different. I like some of the route stuff I'm seeing. I like some of the fun personnel stuff I'm seeing. Yes. I'm also definitely seeing some timing stuff that needs to be worked out. And you probably give the defense some credit on some of that stuff too. But what's your just prevailing kind of takeaway from this offense? And when fans see it for the first time, what are they going to see?
Yeah, I like the way Aaron Brewer phrased it when he was asked about it on NFL Network, and he said razzle dazzle. Add a little bit of razzle dazzle to it, and I think you know when you say that you're looking at more usage of personnel packages and you know different setups, things that we didn't see as much last year. So I definitely think fans are going to be impressed with it. There's a lot of things to like I said, different groupings, and I like the way it's getting different guys opportunities to make plays with the ball. I do wonder though. I didn't see much for Kyle Phillips, so I wonder how that's going to continue to evolve because he's somebody that you know they're going to be relying upon.
Yep, very, very interesting. TD, awesome stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport, thanks, ESPN, NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, DeAndre Hopkins, Kevin Byard, all of it on the table, 615-737-1025. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Teron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. Joe Indy Ben on the text line says, watch Malik Willis earn the number two quarterback job and all of Titans fan base implodes. I'm not a Levis believer, so I guess it's possible. This is from our friend Indy Ben.
Surprise, on the surprise. Text
line. Indy Ben taking his shots. Hey, I'm keeping an open mind. I'm keeping an open mind. You know, I do think as I watch those guys, I could see like, and we talked about this some last year and it didn't really, I mean, I guess it maybe played out in a couple plays. Well, it did. And Todd Downing did throw it in there a little bit, but the idea of like some stuff for Willis, you know, and this new offense. And again, I don't want to oversell it. It's not, you're not going to go out there and say, oh wow, they're running Josh Heupel's offense, but I could actually see, you know, like a role for Willis. And it is close. Now, you know, sitting there talking to people yesterday, you know, I think a good point made. Well, I was talking to Titans legend Blaine Bishop, and you know, we were just talking about, you know, and obviously he knows a lot about all this and was a great player for this franchise. Just the idea that, you know, like if you have a rookie and then you have someone who's been in the league some, like if they're pretty similar early, what does that tell you, right?
Right.
I mean, now, but it doesn't mean, yeah, what it potentially tells you is, you know, that Levis eventually overtakes him, but it doesn't mean it's a guarantee. Like, I think Willis has gotten better. Okay. There's still, like, just, I mean, to me, like, too many passes that just kind of sail on him, but I mean, passes are sailing on Levis too. And by the way, it's not like Tannehill completed every pass. It's just that there's still a huge gap in my mind between him and those two guys. That's going to be an interesting situation. The idea of just a three quarterback room on the active roster next year, I'm not totally dismissing that idea.
Which is something.
One thing we know is like Levis will be on the team. We know.
Yeah, Levis is going to be on the team. I can promise you, Will Levis is going to make the team. I mean, that's going to be something that happens this year. But it is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. Now, look, you know, obviously, Joe, you've been there and you've been watching them. Like, to me, if it's close, you're probably going with Will Levis as your backup quarterback, right? Like, you've invested a second round pick in him and moved up to do it to be your quarterback of the future. Like, if it's close between him and Willis, Levis is probably the backup quarterback, would be my guess.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess it's like how close. And it says, again, the question is like, I mean, ultimately when it comes down to it, again, you're trying to be good this year. You're trying to win this year. You're trying to win a division this year. So, like, which one of those guys gives you the best chance of winning a game if Tannehill can't go?
Right.
I mean, if it's close, but it's like, yeah, but Willis, there's enough of a gap. Like, Willis has made enough progress. Like, actually, we feel like he gives us a better chance this particular week or what, you know, then, I mean, look, I think right now it's fair to just expect, well, will it, Levis, oh my gosh, those two together is a nightmare. Will Levis, to, you know, Levis to be the two. But hey, man, I'm interested. Open mind on all this stuff. And you know, Vrabel, just like any coach should be, Vrabel's like, I don't give a crap where you were drafted, what you make. When you come in here, this is right here. This is a meritocracy. So let's see it, you know, and that's how you got to be.
So what do you make of this tweet from Mike Giardi, who put it out there? And obviously it's been reported today that DeAndre Hopkins is visiting with the New England Patriots next week. And we know he's visiting with the Titans this weekend, but Mike Giardi put it out there. Quote, early in the process, but the two teams DeAndre Hopkins will visit aren't a player away from a Super Bowl. That speaks to what I reported starting around the draft and in recent weeks, with teams believing he's more about the money than anything else. Not that there's anything wrong with that. This is from Giardi that he put out there on Twitter. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what Charles was saying. And, you know, I will say, though, at least with, like, if DeAndre Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins, and he's actually D-hop to a fair percentage, and he's available most of the year. I mean, you could make the case for both of those teams to be surprise teams in the AFC. Well, the Titans are easily going to be a surprise team in the AFC because everybody thinks they're winning three games. So I know I can see a lot of the league looking at this, and seriously, and it's just like, oh, so he doesn't give a crap at all about winning. He's just going to a terrible team to get as much money as possible. But even the Patriots, what if Mac Jones does plant his flag in the ground and, you know, go in the right direction this year with that defense, with him now giving them a legitimate weapon? They could be a playoff team. You know, the bottom of the playoff race in the AFC is still, I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the mix for that. The top is loaded. There's no doubt about it. Real quick, I wanted to get to Jared from Spring Hill. He says, TD doesn't believe in the cap space. The cap. The Titans only have $8 million of space. He's saying to guarantee 10. He says Stillman's tentacles. Well, we all believe that the cap is not a hard cap. We all know it's a soft cap and that you can do things. And someone asked earlier about Landry. That's the most obvious contract when you look at the numbers that you could move around, you know, and kick the can, give him more money up front and open up more space. You can do obviously things with Hopkins' actual contract too.
Tim on the text line says, if it's close between Levis and Willis, then the Titans made a huge mistake. All I heard was Willis is awful and not worth keeping. Waste of a pick and assets if it's close. This from Tim on the text line.
All you heard from who?
I mean, look, a lot of people, Titans fan base is totally out on Malik Willis this offseason.
Yeah, but I mean, Willis, you don't need to hear anything. We all saw him play last year. He wasn't ready. He shouldn't have been on the field, right? We all agree with that. So we can all agree Willis was bad last year to the point that they brought in Josh Dobbs. But again, he was a rookie. Will Levis right now is a rookie. How many rookies are good? I know some are. But especially Willis's situation with his offense, never should have been on the field. That's, to me, again, go back to the guy that we just don't talk about. I mean, we miss him, and I hope he's doing well, Logan Woodside.
Yes.
I thought he's going to win QB2. And I think you can make a case that he should have. But what happened happens. So everybody thinks he stinks. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, okay? A guy in his second year who now has gone through – I mean, he's been in that building every day trying to learn, and I know the offense has changed, but still, there's a lot of concepts – that carry over. The terminology is different, but going from the Hugh Freeze offense to the NFL to an NFL offense, now he's had a year of a lot of things that he's had to totally change and adjust to, and his own footwork and all that stuff too. If you're him, like, would you not expect that guy to be working his butt off? I think Willis has. I think Levis is ultimately going to beat him out, but this idea that if they're close right now, that's just a terrible thing. No, you should have expected that.
Well, but the bottom line is the quarterback situation here, to your point, is way different than it is in Indianapolis and in Houston. Like, no disrespect to my guy, Davis Mills, who sees a lot of things coming, but I don't know what his what his future in the NFL looks like in terms of a starting quarterback. Like, C.J. Stroud's going to be the starter in Houston. You know, Minshew, I think we've seen. Gardner Minshew is a very good backup quarterback and could be a serviceable starter in a pinch. But there's a big difference between Davis Mills, Gardner Minshew, and Ryan Tannehill and the quarterback situation here with the Titans. And then you factor in there is Malik Willis that they took last year in the third round. And we've always said this about Willis. Like, he's got ability. Like, you watch his arm. He's got a big arm. And he made some good plays last year at times. It was nowhere near consistent enough, and it was clear that he was light years away from being ready to actually play. It doesn't surprise me that he's made some progress throughout the offseason. Now, again, I still think Will Levis, by the time training camp gets done, is going to be the backup quarterback to Ryan Tannehill. But I'm not surprised that Malik Willis just hasn't totally laid down here in this situation.
No, good for him. I mean, that would be hugely disappointing. LD says, the loudest voice in your station constantly screams that Willis sucks, and the listeners who are Titans fans are sold. But again, he's going off information that we all got together, right? We all watched him in games last year. I mean, like, there's no, like, I'm telling you, like, and you know, Jared's like gone this week. He probably would have been out there, but like there's discernible progress. I don't know, Michelle, do you think there's discernible progress with Willis? Did you think that he looked like a guy who has improved?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think, too, a lot of the perception of him isn't so much, you know, videos from practice or even media members saying it. It's everybody watching him on the field. And as you said, Joe, he should not have been out there and was in one of the worst situations possible. So that is what that will stick in everybody's head, is that he is that guy. He can never come back from it. But yeah, I think, you know, he's coming in and he is the second string quarterback right now. He knows what he's doing. And I definitely think that we've seen some progress from him, which I'm not surprised about. Sorry.
No, you're good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, it's time for weekend winners here on the program. And let me tell you this. This could be, depending on how the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final goes, it could be our last edition of weekend winners. And the competition has gotten very interesting on all fronts. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. It is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on the program. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. In what could be, depending on how the Stanley Cup Final and NBA Finals go, the final edition of weekend winners. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. But things have gotten very interesting in the competition. Joe Rexroad, 6-0 with his lock this past week to go undefeated.
What?
And make up some ground in the competition. 6-0 for Joe Rexroad.
I had no idea. I don't care, but now I care.
Now you care. You're back in there. I went 4-2.
Oh gosh, I probably did really bad.
I went 4-2 with my lock. Michelle Knezovic 2-4 with her lock. It's been a rough couple of weeks for Michelle, which means a new leader in the competition. Robbie Stanley in first place, 36-29 overall, 5-6 on my locks, good for 41 points. Michelle Knezovic, 32-33, 7-4 on her locks, 39 points. Joe Rexroad has tied Michelle Knezovic with the record. Just with the record, not with the points, but with the record, 32-33 overall, 3-8 on his locks, which is the big difference. Good for 35 points. So Joe is now only 4 points back of Michelle and only 6 points back of me. If this competition was going a few more weeks, you'd be in really good shape.
I think we need to keep this going, man. I think people want more of this. They do. We got to give the people what they want.
I'm pulling the Titans second half of the season with this losing streak I've had these last couple of weeks. This has been a rough go at it for me.
Going to have the July 18th weekend winners of Australian rules football and some cricket action going out there. Looking forward to it.
And baseball, guys.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's going to be awesome. All right, let's get things rolling in today's competition, which could be the last. We'll see what happens. Game 4 coming up between the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. Denver favored by 3.5 in this one. I'll get us rolling on this. I'm going to go with the Heat. I honestly don't feel great about it. I think Miami's going to win in Game 4, so I will take them plus the 3.5. But Denver looked awfully good last game, but I will take the Heat plus the 3.5. Michelle Knezovic, Heat and Nuggets. Nuggets favored by 3.5.
Heat. Give me the Heat plus the 3.5. I think they tie this thing up, and maybe it's my heart wanting this to tie up so we get 7 games because we just need more sports. The Nuggets did look really good the other night, but I think to have another game like that, that'll be hard to do. So give me the Heat plus the 3.5.
Yo, Rex Road, Nuggets favored by 3.5 in this matchup in game 4.
Well, I agree with you guys and called a shot to that effect, but I mean, I need to throw a Hail Mary, so I'll go with the Nuggets and give the points.
You want to lock it down?
The Nuggets.
No.
In that matchup. All right, game 4 between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers. Florida picks up a big win last night. That series now 2-1. Florida back at home for game 4. Straight up on the puck line, Michelle, who do you have in game 4, Vegas or Florida?
I think last night gave the Panthers a little momentum. Matthew Tkachuk to send it to overtime. And I think he's going to have a big game. Give me the Panthers to tie up the series. Going all Florida. All Florida in my picks this weekend.
So going with the Panthers against the Vegas Golden Knights. Joe Rexroad, Vegas taking on Florida. Who you got on the puck line in game 4?
Yeah, I think we're all going to be the same. But I believe this one. I believe the Panthers. I think last night is just going to be huge for them. So I got to go with them.
I will also go with the Panthers. I mean, that's the type of win last night that could really propel you moving forward here, and a couple of clutch performances. So I'll go with the Panthers on the puck line as well. All right, so the Super Regional taking place here this weekend in Joe Rexroad's favorite city of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We're going to talk about the matchup here in just a few minutes, but we're just going to go straight up series winner. So who wins the series in the Super Regional, Tennessee or Southern Miss? Joe Rexroad, you're up first.
I think the Vols will, but you guys are both going to pick the Vols. So give me the Fighting Favs.
The Fighting Favs.
I love it.
I'm up next, and I'm actually going Southern Miss. So.
Ah!
What? I'm going Southern Miss too.
Yeah.
I want to change mine.
I'll lock it, though. I'll lock mine down.
So you're going Southern Miss lock to win the series. What does that say about us? All three of us have picked Southern Miss.
Robbie's reverse psychology.
I want Vols lock.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
We'll allow it.
Yes.
Locking down on the Tennessee Vols to win the series this weekend from Joe Rexroad. We now move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your first individual selection.
Actually, I think I might want this to be my lock. LSU Kentucky series. LSU.
How dare you?
So going with LSU in the series against Kentucky. Michelle Knezvik, your first individual selection.
Well, would you look at that? Kentucky in the series over LSU. I don't feel confident about it, but I just got to get that one out there off my chest.
I love when you bet with your heart.
You know what? I won't do the series. I'll go specifically game 1, LSU minus 2.5 against Kentucky. LSU minus 2.5 against Kentucky in game 1.
Okay.
So I'll go with that one. Michelle Knezvik, your second individual selection.
Okay. I want to go the Southern Miss and Tennessee the first game.
Okay.
Do you see the line in front of you? I'm sorry. My phone's not working.
I do not, but I can pull it up.
So whatever the line is,
it is Tennessee favored by 1.5.
Give me Southern Miss plus 1.5.
So Southern Miss plus 1.5 in game 1. Okay. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
Heat Nuggets over under 210.5. I think this is going to be, I just think, you know, these teams are going to grind one here. So I give me the under on that one.
So going with the under 210.5 for game 4 between the Heat and the Nuggets. I will go the Milwaukee Brewers minus 1.5 against the Oakland A's. I will lock it down. I'm developing a Joe Rexroad-esque strategy of, I can't remember if it was last football season or the year before in Picks Can Pick 'em where you found the UConn line and you just took it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing with the Oakland A's. They're terrible. So give me the Brewers minus 1.5. Make it my lock against the Oakland A's coming up. That's how I'm going with it. Michelle, your final individual selection.
Okay, I'm heading back to the NHL, the Golden Knights and the Panthers. The over-under is 5.5. Give me the over in this one. I think the Panthers found some things offensively last night, so I'm going to take the over. I think they hit about 6 in a win for the Panthers. So give me the over.
Well, I had this written down before that. I'm going under 5.5 between the Panthers and Vegas. So looking forward to that one coming up. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection as you shake your head in total disgust.
Well, I had it written down too, and I had the over, and then Michelle said the over, and then I just wrote down the under, and then you just said the under.
Price is right action on you, buddy. Sorry.
So I need something that distinguishes me from you guys. So you have to let me pick something different. I don't want to mess with that anymore.
Take the Oakland A's.
I can't have the same.
Take the Oakland A's plus 1.5 against the Brewers.
I am definitely not doing that. That's a good. See, the thing is, you're picking the A's, but also you are continuing WHMR's tradition of talking Milwaukee sports.
That's true, like
no other station. So it's a double killing two birds with one stone there with your Brewers pick. Let's see.
Don't try to pull some ridiculous college baseball line on me here either.
All right. How about you know what? The Tigers make me sick. I thought they might be decent for a while. Now they've gone on the toilet. So just give me the Diamondbacks on the money line against the Tigers. Fair?
Are the Diamondbacks favored in the game?
They are. They're at Detroit.
Well, then take the -1.5.
You can't do that.
Fine. I'll take the money. That's fine. I'll take the -1.5. That's fine.
Take the Diamondbacks -1.5 against the Tigers. More shenanigans attempted to be pulled by Joe Rexroad there in the competition, but we won't stand for it.
You mean undefeated Joe Rexroad?
Yes, that's what I mean. This is going to be really interesting. This could be the last week. We'll see how things go.
Joe will pull the I'm undefeated after 1 week of going 6-0. He'll go 0-6, undefeated.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. This has been Weekend Winners, perhaps for the final time until Pigskin Pick'em returns during football season, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final plays out this week. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will take a look at the Super Regional Series between Tennessee and Southern Miss and take your final thoughts on the Titans heading into the weekend as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Mike, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and good luck this weekend, whether it's in Hattiesburg or Knoxville. Kegger at Mike's house if it's in Knoxville.
Be in Hattiesburg, Joe.
At least we're close to New Orleans.
That's right. Mike Wilson. Hey, Mike Wilson called it earlier this week, Joe. We're going to Hattiesburg. And here we are. The day has arrived as you prepare for your roughly 6-hour trip from the Nashville area down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, through the yellow brick road next to the volleyball courts down there at Southern Miss to watch Tennessee take on Southern Miss in the Super Regional. How do we feel about this matchup for Tennessee heading into the weekend?
Well, another thing about this, and we talked way earlier in the show about the Wes Rucker very unhappy with the Southern Miss, well, the NCAA. What do you call the NCAA? A damn joke. The press box is very limited, so one person per outlet gets a press box seat. And now listen, I will say this. Knoxville is the same way. But the Knoxville overflow is just like right below the press box, and it's outdoors. It's actually a great view. It's like just the same view. So apparently at Southern Miss, they put you in some weird place. When I don't know, maybe at least they have like a poster of Brett Favre up on the wall or something. But
do you have
anyway,
a seat? Or are you going to be like behind some pole somewhere?
I have a seat. One per outlet. So Ben McKee is the beat writer of baseball for them. So Ben, they're all friends of the show. Gets the seat, and Wes is in a Twitter. There's some Twitter battling between Vols Media and Southern Miss fans. I love it. But another thing about this weekend is that it's supposed to be thunderstorming constantly. So I just cannot wait to have to listen to Mike Wilson yammer on about New Zealand football or whatever for hours as we play euchre during rain delays. Can't wait for that.
But yeah, you didn't get quite enough time in the press box last week at Vanderbilt, so a little bit more coming up this weekend in Hattiesburg.
That was the Vanderbilt crew, and now you get with the Vols crew. So if the Vols lose this, and I guess I'm the bad luck charm. But look, I think the Vols should win this series. You know, Tanner Hall he's the star. There's obviously there is a lot of sentiment this weekend because Scott Barry, their coach, is retiring. So you have that. And I do actually buy that that could be, you know, a little bit of the reason they got their super regional, beyond that the entire world is conspiring against Vol Twitter. But Tanner Hall is like a stud. You're talking about an ace, 2.08 ERA, 1.02 whip, junior. He's going to be a prominent pick. He's a hard throwing right hander, but he did 120 plus pitch Friday, okay, in the regional against Samford, and then they brought him out again Monday for I think, you know, I mean, he got up in the 20s of 30 pitches, something like that. So is he starting Saturday? I mean, that's still the 5 days rest, so you right. would think so, but like, is there any impact there? He has to win his start for Southern Miss to have a chance to win the series. I mean, the rest of their pitching staff is that they did have their second guy had a really good outing against Auburn. So, you know, I mean, that's a big deal. That's their first win against SEC team this year. They've had some midweek losses. They got some big bats. I mean, this dude, Slade Wilkes, that dude's getting some Favre NIL money. I hope 20 dingers, 58 ribbies, 291. So they got other guys with some big, you know, power numbers. But look, the Vols have multiple guys who can come in and shut down a lineup. As we know, they got arms all over the pen, and they need to hit everybody who's not Tanner Hall. And if they do that, they're going to win the series.
You going Dolander game one?
I think it's Lindsay.
You think so?
And the thing is,
I just wonder if the now that it's a series, would that change? Would be the only thing I'd wonder.
It's a good question, and it's a really interesting thing too, because I mean, look, Dolander was not great against Clemson. I mean, he was looking great. He was cruising. Then he got blown up one inning, and it took Burns, you know, to bail them out. It wasn't his best. I was like, to me, it was like the story of their season is going to be that Dolander, who was starting to look like that guy, just wasn't that guy. He was out-dueled by the Clemson ace, and they're going to be done. And then we saw what happened, and it totally changed everything. Also, like, you know, it's like, I think back to Vandy, Michigan in 2019. You know, Michigan has their best pitcher, and I forget who started for Vandy in game one, but I said going that game, like, Michigan has to win this game, has to, and they did. And I was like, because then it's Kumar Rocker and Mason Hickman, and Vandy's going to win those two games, and they did. And so you almost wonder, like, if Tanner Hall's starting for sure, and you know that Friday, like, I'm not saying sacrifice the first game, because any of your starters could beat Tanner Hall. Right. But if you feel like one of those guys, like you feel better about Dolander or Lindsay, I might go with that guy Sunday. I might go with that guy Sunday and then just feel like you're set up to win the next two if you happen to lose game one. It's always interesting with college baseball pitching decisions in the postseason.
Well, then, I mean, you would figure at some point Chase Burns is going to be a factor in this too. And can he give you something similar that he gave you last week against Clemson? Not necessarily 99 pitches, but just the quality of the performance. Can he continue to come through that way if they go to him in the bullpen, which they will at some point?
I think he will be a big fat. That's the thing. Obviously, any of your starters could give you seven innings, you know? But that's the thing, too, with Chase Burns' stuff. You know, the Vols don't really have an official closer.
Right.
So we could see this weekend with Chase Burns stuff and with the confidence you would think he got from that start, I could see Chase Burns closing two games, you know, and that could be his role. I mean, he throws 100 with a vicious slider, you know, so it's going to be really interesting. But obviously the bats have to show up. And I mentioned Christian Moore earlier. I mean, he is starting to become a big, big centerpiece in that lineup. We talked to Tony Vitello about him this week, and if he's going to keep it hot in the middle of that lineup, that means a lot for the Vols.
Yep, and if you missed our interview with Tony Vitello, we had him on the show Wednesday. You can check that out on Apple or Spotify. Just search Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can go check that out. Some travel advice, by the way, from Grigsby on the text line. For Joe, I would recommend going through Birmingham instead of Memphis. There are more options to stop for food, etc.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't even know that. I hadn't even considered a Memphis way. It's pretty direct right through Birmingham. So I thank you. And there may be some food in Birmingham today.
You could stop at a certain gas station that I love to frequent as well on the way down there.
Bucky's. Oh, yeah. Where is it? Do you know the exit number?
I don't know the exit number off the top of my head, but it's outside of Athens, Alabama. So just give it a shot.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm a loyalist now. I have everything but the T-shirt.
Joe, very quickly, your final thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins visiting the Titans coming up this weekend. And I guess the pitch for the Titans and what they have on the table.
Well, like TD said earlier, and I mean, I think he's right. Like the Titans have to have something in mind. And TD and I are basically the same on like what we would offer him, you know? So how different is that? Has Hopkins through all this? Because I mean, this does look a little bit like Charles was saying, like a little bit of let's make it look like the market's hot.
Right.
Like in the reality of this, has Hopkins' price gone down? Have Hopkins talked about, okay, like we need to drop this down. We don't need to tell anybody that, but let's be realistic here. If not, then nothing's going to happen. They're not going to sign him for that much money.
It's a great question. Hopkins visiting the Titans this weekend, visiting the Patriots next week. By the way, happy birthday to my beautiful wife, Heather, 29 years old today. So happy about that. Hope everybody
happy has birthday, a great Heather. Weekend.
Everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Chase and Michelle coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.